in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I mean, you see that? This should tell us something, that as the United States or the America that we live in today, if God judges these nations, then He'll judge this nation. A lot of times, and one of the highest standards we always hold as a church is Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Well, if God doesn't take any judgment or action against America, then He would have to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And there was somebody who quoted that really great. It was Billy Graham. Alright? He said God would have to apologize. Now, when I said it, it didn't matter. But when I said Billy Graham said it, you know, like, amen. That's okay. That's alright. Billy Graham carries a little bit of weight. Amen? Can I tell y'all a joke about Billy Graham? I'll tell you one quick joke about Billy Graham. We'll be done, okay? Billy Graham was flying, and he came into Charlotte. That's where he lives. If y'all, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina. And he landed, and he was walking to the car, and he spoke to the driver, and this just happened to be a limousine. He said, "Guys, you know, can I do one thing?" They said, "What is it?" Can I drive? Because I've always been, you know, when I land, usually people, somebody drives me. Can I drive? I'm like, "Yeah, Billy, you can drive." Well, there goes Billy Graham driving the car through Charlotte, North Carolina, and just so happens he sped when he wasn't supposed to, right? So then he gets pulled over. The police officer comes up to the car, rolling windows, and he takes his license, registration. He's like, "You know, what's the hurry?" He's like, no hurry. I just didn't see the sign." Got the thing. He goes, "Well, I'm going to go call this in." He goes, "Call in." He goes, I don't know if I could write this ticket or not." He calls him, "Why not?" He goes, "There's a guy speeding." He goes, "Well, who is?" He goes, I think it's God." And he said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, because Billy Graham's a driver." Amen. Well, I'm going to stay at my day job, I guess. All right. We laughed at that, but I just really wanted you to get the weight of that. Once you get the weight of those two verses, those two nations, those two people, those people groups would stand up in judgment against us because they believe the word, listen, they believe the word of Jonah, and they believe the word of Solomon, but we have the word of Jesus. We have, Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already been resurrected. Amen? We don't have to look to trying to figure out by faith if this is ever going to happen. Jonah, by faith, preached. Solomon, by faith, said. Amen. We know by what we believe is true, Jesus died on that cross. Amen. So we're going to be held more accountable for our repentance and how we handle the Word of God. I just wanted y'all to see that. There's a heavy weight there. There's a great teaching there. So we preach to that. But we're going to get into something. I'm hoping, as a Sunday night crowd, I'm hoping. Now, some of you are experienced in this. Some of you have experience with what I'm going to teach or preach tonight. But I wanted to teach this or preach this where if you're ever come in contact with this, you'll be able to give some answers to some people that might be going through this very thing. I experienced this a lot when I worked in the recovery field. I've experienced a lot when I worked in the boys' home, and I experienced a lot going throughout jails and prison ministries, okay? So, and guess where else I experienced? I left one out. Church. Amen? I said all those others, and sometimes we leave that out, but it's here too, okay? But I want y'all to see it. Let's look in verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Amen? So the unclean spirit comes out of the man. Now, I love this, and you say, how did he come out? We're going to look at this from two points of view, Two points of view. One would be this is Israel. And when Jesus and John the Baptist came, then Jesus came, and there was a lot of morality, there was a lot of gospel, there was a lot of things changing, right? But not a lot of people changed. Whew, you all right? A lot of people heard of Jesus, a lot of people seen Jesus, but as a nation, they didn't turn to Jesus. Amen? We know that they didn't turn to Jesus, but a lot of them did, and a lot of Gentiles did. Amen? Thank God for that. Amen? We're all welcomed in. All right? But I wanted you to see this. But this is a natural thing that people that get around Jesus, when they get around the preaching, when they get around church, when they come into a ministry like a homeless shelter or a recovery center or a jail ministry. Amen? Are y'all still with me? When they come into that, they hear it. And the devil really can't hang out in a spiritual place. He can, but it's hard. Amen? And I call this, and let's give it an illustration in our personal. We had the Jewish nation, but let's look at it as an American nation, or us individuals. Amen? Or people that we know. And you've asked this question a million times. You've said this a million times. You just when you start talking about it, you're going to see it. I call it getting real close to the fire, but not having a fire of your own. Amen? I would title that this message, getting real close to the fire and feeling the effects of the fire, seeing the fire, knowing the fire, but not never having the fire. That way, when you walk away from the fire, you don't have it anymore. Amen? It's like a lot of people will come to church or come to those said ministries before, and they will start to talk like the Bible. They'll start to sing gospel songs. They'll start to say things that make you encourage. You think, man, they are turning their life around. Amen? Are y'all okay with this? I've seen this hundreds of times. Now, some people call this jailhouse religion or recovery religion or just religion. Amen? I just call it, you know what a good thing is and you want it, but submitting to it's another thing. The devil can't, he don't want to stay in that. All of a sudden, he departs. Now, let's look at this. I want you to see it. He seeks rest and he finds none. See, the devil, a spirit, an evil spirit, it has no body. It's got to be housed, amen? See, when they got cast out of heaven, they don't have nowhere to dwell. So they got to harbor a body. So he's out, and he's just out there floating around, and he can't find no rest, amen? He's wanting to find somewhere to dwell. Are y'all good? I've been here so many times with people. You minister to them. They look good. They talk good. They sound good. You might say stuff like, I've not seen you act like this since you were little. I've not seen you act like this before, you know, when I knew you. Now all of a sudden you seem good. Amen. Y'all, everybody good? Ooh, I love this guy. I'm glad. This right here is big grown-up teaching in the church. It is. I've never heard it taught, be honest. I'm not saying it hasn't been. I've just never heard it. Sing it the rest. Verse 44. Then he saith, I will return. Because I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, does that sound familiar? Empty. What does that mean? When he walked in, all the garbage ain't there. All the drinking, all the lying, all the cheating, all the stealing, all the stuff's not there. Amen? Whew, amen. It's good, right? Almost good. You walk in there and go, hey man, all the junk's gone. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's what we say sometimes. And that's what they say, because the first time in years, it's empty, all right? But then it's swept too, amen? Not only did they get rid of some stuff, they're sweeping some stuff out. It's good, amen? Yes, I've seen people throw stuff away. I make claims, I'm through with this, I'm through with that, I'm getting rid of it, amen? Golly, I'm really preaching. You just don't know it. Somebody's going to get hit with this in a couple of months or a year. You're going to get hit with this. And if you got kids, you're going to deal with it. Matter of fact, you're just going to deal with this. I deal with this on a regular basis. Swept and garnished. Now see, in this version, garnished, I'm sitting there going, garnished, you know, because I think about, you know, you put a little leaf on the end of the plate, right? It just means put in order. Amen? It just means put in order. All right, so all of a sudden it's empty, it's void of all the crazy, it's swept, and all of a sudden it's gone. That means it's put in order. All of a sudden order starts coming back from chaos. Oh, they start going to work, they start getting a job, they start telling the truth about where they're at. I mean, things that are normal, they're not upside down and backwards. Do y'all like upside down and backwards? Hey, you know what? There's a lady in the Bible who got healed from Jesus. Y'all remember? She was a woman who had been bent over. Remember? For 18 years, she had been bent over. Amen? She came to the house of God, and Jesus, he came into the sanctuary, and she was there, and she was bent over. She was bent together. She was bowed together and she could in no ways lift herself up. I love that lady. Amen? That looked like me. Before I got saved, I was bent over. I was bowed down and I couldn't lift myself up. But I thought about for years how she looked at the world. Amen? See, when you got demons in you, or when you got a demon in you, when you're filled with an evil spirit, you look at the world upside down and backwards. Have you ever talked to somebody who's been messed up in the world? They talk weird. They make it sound like you got the problem. Amen? When you come and try to help them, they blame you. They say stuff to you like, why don't you help me out? You don't love me, you hate me. Amen? Amen. I've heard this too many times. But the problem is, they're bent over. But so they're looking at the world upside down, backwards. So you got to get them, they got to get straightened up before they can see it right. People come to me all the time and say, they said this and they said that and they said this and they said that. My person that was in addiction, they said this. My person that's struggling, they said this. Person that's in sin, they said this. And I said, don't let them speak anymore. Amen? Just tell them this is what you're willing to do because this is a healthy thing because I'm standing upright and I'm looking in the right direction. It's good, ain't it? That sounds good. And friend, we're all saying amen right now. Hallelujah. But when you're going through it, it's hard to say and do, ain't it? Because that person that's upside down and backwards, that's how they see it. That's how their world is. And they want to pull you into their world. In their world, they want you to look at it a little bit different. And then you'll find yourself sitting there questioning yourself whether they're looking right or you're looking right. Well, I'm telling you, I'm just being honest. That's real preaching because guess what? That's not said in the church very much. We don't know how to handle people when their world is upside down and backwards. Matter of fact, a lot of times, instead of getting them straight, they get us upside down and backwards. Oh, gosh. I love this stuff. Garnish. Got everything in order finally. Man, I'll be honest with you. I've watched it a million times. I'm sitting here going, man, this old boy, this old girl, this old person, they got their life straightened out, thank God. Amen? But check this out in verse 45. Now, we're going to go back to 44 because I'm going to try to help us figure out what we're going to do. Amen? But let's look in 45. Let's go back up. Verse 44. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. Now jump down to 45. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also with this wicked generation. Oh man. Now listen, ain't this the truth? Well, that person or that individual who all of a sudden made this big life change, but 3 months, now listen, let's not put no time on it, because the Bible doesn't put any time on it right here. So you can say 3 months, 6 months, a year. I could go as far as saying 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Y'all okay? We're not going to put no time frame on it. We're just saying this. The devil walked out. He's gone. But now he's come back. He comes back, and guess what he does when he comes back? He don't come back alone. He comes back. And why do you think he comes back? The number 7 means completion. He's coming back for a complete takeover. Amen? Oh, man, y'all gonna help me right here, right? Some of y'all people dealt with this stuff. I've seen this so many times. You wonder how somebody that seems so clean and so well and got so much back in order, how could they ever fall back into their same old lifestyle? How could it happen? Because it wasn't just the one demon that came back. He got 7 of his buddies. Worse than he was. Oh, man. Mark, one of the worst things I hate to do, I hate to lose a fight. I hate to lose a game. I hate to lose, you know what I mean? The devil doesn't like to lose. He's already a loser. I'm serious. He's already a loser. He knows his end, but his gain is taking as many people to hell as he possibly can. That's his main goal. He's a liar and a thief. He's a liar to you, and he's a thief of your soul. He's trying to steal all the people he can from God. All right? So he doesn't like it when somebody tries to get help. Amen? When somebody tries to reach out and get out of the manipulation of the evil spirit. Now, I'm not against people trying to give people help, but there is one help that is above all the help. Amen? I want people to get sober. I want to get their lives in order. I want them to get the counseling they need. But the great counselor, Jesus Christ, must come in. Because if he doesn't come in, then that evil spirit has a room to come back to. Amen? I want you to see that, because guess what? Them seven demons that come back, they're going to make it hard. I'm really preaching. I want you to get this teaching in your heart, because some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. When that evil spirit comes back with his friends, it hits them harder. It knocks them down. And then there's a lot of guilt and shame. So this next group of demons that come in, they're going to amplify the guilt and the shame. Amen? Not only did they get you to fall again, but they're going to amplify the fact that God doesn't love you. Amen? Okay, I'll say it this way. The devil is the father of, he's a liar and the father of all liars. Amen? So now all these guys that are in you are just a bunch of liars. And the first thing they're going to tell you is now you can't go back to your group of people who believe. You can't go back to the fire. Whew, golly, boom. Amen? I've seen so many men who have got help, who went away, who can't come back to the help because they didn't take the fire with them, so they get fought about coming back. Amen? Mel, you know what I'm saying, right? Now look, I'm preaching. I'm not preaching losing your salvation. I'm not preaching any of that. I'm preaching that this spirit got out because you reached out for help, but you didn't get the right help. You got some of the right help. You didn't get all of it. No, this is complicated but fun. Amen? Now he comes back in there and he makes a life a mess. His second state was worse than the first. Amen? Now, if you've been in any kind of ministry for any time, or if you stick around in this one long enough, we're going to see some people, amen, who look good for a while, and they fail, and their second state was worse than the first state. Amen? You don't quit then. You don't quit then. You roll your boots up. You roll your sleeves up. You don't feed the devil. You feed them the Lord. Amen? Because now, God, I'm preaching, man. I wish I'd get this. I hope this goes out on the video. Listen, they're not going to come for you. You got to go for them. They're not going to come back to the fire. You're going to have to take the fire to them. And I ain't going to promise you it's going to work. I'm just telling you got to make the effort. When you see somebody tail spin out, then you and go down further than they were when you first met them, you got to know this is going on. And that's when you got to stick in there. You've got to say, look, I'm not going to feed your addiction. I'm not going to get upside down backwards with you, but I will be here if you want real help, and I will help you get out. I know you can't go back to the church. I know you won't go back to the ministry. I know you won't go there, but I will be here, and we will be here if you want out of the mess. And here's how we're going to do it. And you lay a plan out for them. And you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Because they're going to have a devil. They're going to have seven devils inside their head telling them that you're a liar, that you're no good, you're the problem, and it's not them. And we're really, man, this is Sunday night. Can you believe this? There's people missing out on this. Hey, you better get this recording out to somebody. You need to tell somebody if you leave here. You need to listen. Especially if you got somebody who's struggling in addiction, a son, a grandson, a granddaughter, somebody like that. You need to get them on this tape. Amen. You need to, like, hey, listen to this. Because this is what you're dealing with. Amen? Let's go back to verse 44 because I want to show you I ain't got all the problems. I got some of the problems. I got all the answers. Amen? Is that good? Because I don't like ministries. I don't like people in ministry, church, whatever, who only tells me the bad news. God said go preach the gospel. Gospel equals good news. Amen? Whew, I love that. Never mind. Y'all ready? Let's go back to 44. Let's get some answers. Now, when did he go back? He said, I'm going to go. Oh, golly, I love this. Mark, check this out. He says, go back into my house from whence I came out. You know what? He thinks he owns you. Amen? That's good. You think about that. And at this point, he does. Man, you either belong to God or you belong to the devil. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. And that's a fact. Amen? That's not popular preaching. That's not politically correct, but it's absolute truth. Amen? So let's get this. Now look, when he goes in, let's see how he finds it. And when he came, he found it empty. Man. See, to an addict, to somebody that's caught up in sin, and to somebody who loves somebody like that, when it's empty, it seems good. Amen? When it's empty, it seems all right. But it's not. What we need is it to be filled with a different thing. Amen? It needs to be filled with a different thing. Oh, yes. Somebody said it and they got it all the way right. You see, you got to be filled. The void that you've been trying to use drugs and all the other things of the world, other sins, you got to fill them. I can't fill that blank in. Whatever you've been filling this life with, amen, that demonic spirit, whatever it's been feeding on, you have to remove it. Hallelujah. It gets out. When it's out, you've got to replace it with the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God comes in and that fills you. That takes away from the desire to you to reach out to put stuff in, because your soul is now satisfied with the Spirit of God, who says, I neither hunger nor thirst for bread or water anymore, because I have that in me. You get it? Man, this is good stuff. And this is the stuff at last. This is the stuff at last, because now they got a Holy Spirit in them, and all of a sudden it's changing them. But they're still infants. They're still children. They're still babies in Christ. And that's okay. They're filled up. They're going to have a different want and desire, but that voice is going to be small. Now the swept part, y'all get that? The swept? Amen? No. We don't want swept. We want washed. We want every nook and cranny. We want the Holy Spirit of God. We want God to come in and wash them clean with the blood of Christ. Amen? Because if it's just swept, there's still some stuff in the cracks, amen? You can sweep stuff, it ain't clean. When you wash it, amen? When you sanitize it, when you really get in there and cleanse it out, when you get the blood of Christ, see, the blood of Christ will go deeper into a stain than just, well, I got help and I'm better now. No. Jesus is in that, and he's like a stain remover. The blood of Christ is better than any sin stain there is. It will get up underneath the stain and lift it out. Amen? I didn't sweep it under the rug. Amen? I didn't just sweep the dust around the room. I let Jesus get in there and cleanse it all. Amen? This reminds you, when you're a kid, you know, when you're lost, you know, God will come in there, or when you're lost, the world will come in there and you want to try everything. You know, you ain't never taught your kids how to sin. Matter of fact, nobody ever taught you how to sin, did they? Amen. That comes by your nature, amen? And you just start filling your life, and then there might be one thing, there might be two things, there might be 1,000 things. Am I all right? But most of the time, every person has that one or two things that your sin nature just craves, amen? And you want to fill up on that, and it's kind of like candy. It eats and it ruins you, and it does all that, but it never fills you, amen? And you try the different kinds of candy, you think, oh man, I'm preaching. Sorry about that. You try every kind of candy. You try this kind, that kind, this kind, that kind. But you're still trying to fill void, and it won't fill, right? When Jesus gets in you and cleanses you and fills you, you don't need no more of that. I ain't saying you won't never think about it, but I'm just saying this. You can withstand it. You can withstand it. Or it will give you time to go, the Holy Spirit will go give you time, and the cleansing will give you time to run that thing through. Amen. Have you ever felt yourself since you've been saved? See, when I was lost, I never run the thought through. There's my, we call it candy or whatever. That's what I want. Have it. Take it. Guilt trip off the other side, right? Guilt, shame, pain, right? Guilt, shame, pain. Now I ain't coming back, right? Well, when you get the Spirit of God in you, He gives you that time in your mind. You could see, I know if I do this, I'm going to have guilt. Then I'm going to have shame. And then it's going to bring pain. Equal, at the end, it's going to bring forth death. Write this down. You'll never get this wrong. For the wages of sin is death. When lust and death, lust plus death, this is a good, I'm not a mathematician, but it's good math. Amen. Lust plus death equals, no. Lust plus sin. Told you it wasn't good math and English and anything else in school. All right. Lust plus sin equals death. And listen, I don't care. That equation never changes. And it doesn't even matter if you do this. Lust plus legal sin equals death. Amen? Steal. I mean, somebody's coming to tell you, that's legal. It doesn't matter if it's legal. If it's a sin to God, it's still going to bring the same equation, consequence. Amen? That's what you're going to get. I love that. Amen? That makes it simple. Somebody comes and say, well, you can do that in this state. You can do that in this county. You can do this in that country. No, I can do it, but that does not change how it's going to equal out. Amen? So when God gets in you, this is what you're going to tell somebody. When God gets in you, when the fire gets in you, He's going to clean. He's going to feel. Amen? Oh, I love this next part. And He's going to put in order. He's going to garnish. Amen? What does that mean? He is going to make perfect sense out of your life. Now, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to stand up here on this stage and tell you that God's going to give you a life that everybody else will think that makes sense and is in order. God's going to put it in order the way He wants to. Amen? Now, God will take your life and He will challenge you to do stuff that you never thought possible. Teaching and preaching the gospel. Amen? When he first saved me, and somebody said, what are we going to do? And I said, don't worry, we're not going to get too far into this thing. Okay, you good? All right, we're not going to get too far. We're not going to go too far into this. We're just going to get saved, and we got that fire insurance. We got, we're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. God says, no. Once I fill you, once I cleanse you, now I'm going to put your life in the order. Then you get into this plan right here. Y'all like this plan? Listen to this plan you get under. It's good. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There's the plan you get under. Amen? All of a sudden, now God saved you. He's filled you, cleansed you, and put your life in order. And the order is like this. Everything that happens from that day forward, good, bad, or indifferent, is all good. Because He's bringing forth your purpose, His purpose through your life. You say, well, what if bad things happen to me? What if I have to go through some tough stuff? You glorify God all the way through it, and you'll never regret it. Amen? You say, well, it's easier said than done. Amen? This whole book's easier said than done. This whole life's easier said than done. But we got to do it. Why? Because the filling of the Holy Spirit. If God don't ever get in, it's just going to be empty. And I can tell you this right now, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever it is, you're going to seek to fill that. That's why you see some people who pronounced and said, well, I got God. What they had was they got close to something. They got close to the fire. And they felt good. And it resembled what they should have. But when they got away from the fire, when they got away from God, they realized they didn't have a relationship themselves. So when they got out here, guess what? That devil come back and said, wait a minute. That house is empty. It's been swept and put in order. We can mess that up. We'll cause chaos. And that's why as the church, we have sat and scratched our head for years, and we didn't know how to explain that, did we? Because we don't judge nobody. We don't tell nobody. What I want to do is I want to take them to that scripture. And I say, hey, does this look familiar? Amen. Does this look like this could be going on? Amen. Well, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. I was doing pretty good. And then that thing that I like to do came back. But it seemed like then everything I like to do plus some stuff that I've never done is there. And that's when you got to say, well, you know what we need to do, right? Same process. God gets him out. But you got to get God in. You got to pray and seek the Lord and let Him in your heart and life. You got to repent. When you repent and God fills you with the Spirit of God, then you're going to be able to do these things. You're going to be walking with that fire in you. Oh, you'll be a life game changer after that. Amen? Whew. Let's all stand. Do y'all see the realness in this? This is not a message. This is not one of these messages you sit there and go, man, this is good preaching or the bad preaching. This preaching right here is you're going to run into this every day of your life. If you're going to be a minister, you're going to run into this every day of your life. If you hang around in a family long enough, you're going to run into somebody who's going to need this. Miss Betsy, if they'll come get a song, play just a song of invitation. Maybe you needed this to help somebody else, to mentor somebody else. Maybe you know somebody who's going through addiction. You're sitting here tonight going, man, I know somebody who's going through this addiction or sin or whatever the case may be. You say, God, thank you for sending this. Help me apply this. Help me apply this to their life. And if you're not going through either one of them and you're just sitting here in this message, here's what you need to say. God, thank you for the word. And when I get to apply it, thank you for that. Because you're either going to need this message right now or you're going to need it eventually. Amen. 81.